This morning we're going to be in a passage, and the sermon is going to be on one verse. So I don't have to read as much, for one thing. I'm going to read a few others before that. But this is in Matthew chapter 5, so if you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm going to back up and start in verse 1 and read this. This is the beginning of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, and it'll go through the Beatitudes real quickly. But we're going to end in verse 13, and that's going to be our focal verse. And so if you would read along with me. It says, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Let's pray. Father God, we lift your word to you this morning. Lord, we want to lift ourselves to you. Lord, that you'd speak to us in a way this morning that would draw us into your presence, that we'd feel your spirit move, that we'd understand what it is you have for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to open your word. Lord, open our hearts. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to talk about basically that one verse, 13, like I said. But when Jesus sits down, he begins to tell of what the character of the people, his disciples, as he sits down to teach them, this is what your character should be like. And he gives you the Beatitudes. And he finishes that up and he says, "Great is your reward in heaven. You live this way. You follow me. You serve me. And your reward, you can be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Man, that's what we all want to hear. Then there's verse 13. Sometimes we want to, because there's that separation in most Bibles, most translations, they separate in there between verse 12 and verse 13. Because in verse 13 he begins to say, that's your character, this is your job. This is your responsibility. This is who you are in me. And so as he begins to talk about this, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble at some point today, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. You know, in the holidays, everybody's always baking. They're always making cookies, fudge, whatever, bread, all these things. Well, I was blessed to have my daughter-in-laws come down, and they began to make some sourdough bread, you know, where you add some and it begins to grow and then you cut it and you separate, you send it to somebody else, that type of deal. They came down and they were all set to do this. And my daughter-in-law, she goes into, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but she's got red hair. But anyway, she goes, but I didn't name her, so it's okay. But she went into the pantry and she was getting ready to put cinnamon on all this on this bread, and it was sounding so good. And she goes in and she reaches in the cupboard and she sees the color and she sees the sea, and she comes back and she's pouring it on and mixing it in, and pretty soon she begins to smell cumin. Needless to say, that did not work very well. And I told her, I said, that's sermon material right there. I said, that's coming out. I didn't realize it would come out this quickly, but here it is. But it's one of those things that when we are called to be a certain spice, we cannot be something else. When it calls for cinnamon, you don't add cumin. We figured that out. It doesn't work. When God calls for salt, he doesn't want you to be anything else but salt. the recipe calls for salt in this verse. And I love this because so many times it's added right to the next couple verses that talk about being a light of the world and Christ's light in you. And that is a great passage. But this week, as I was beginning to pray over this and study over this, that part, "You are the salt of the earth," just jumped out at me. Because when we look at what salt really is, they say, and I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but they say that salt, pure salt, will never lose its flavor. If it's pure salt, it will not lose its flavor. Now, Jesus was talking to them about something that they understood. Back in their day, salt had a lot of the same purposes it does for us today. And they would understand that as He begins to teach. He would share with them about salt, and they would understand that what reaction salt had when it was around food and things is the reaction that the world needs with you. And so as He begins to tell them this, they stop and they have to stop and think, and we're going to stop and say, okay, what was it used for back then? Some of the things, we know it's a flavor, and they would add it to food that had no flavor. And again, I'm getting myself in trouble, but my wife's not here, so I'll be okay for a little while. I put salt on everything. It's just a habit. I mean, once the doctor told me, "Your blood pressure's down where it can be, where it should be." No, it probably won't be for long. But I can salt anything and everything. It's like, "You haven't even tasted it yet." Don't need to. My arm needs to do this. It's something I have to do before I eat. And so something that I eat is going to be salted. And that's the way it is. And so you put that salt, or I put that salt, and they understood this. You put salt on something sometimes that has no flavor whatsoever. When you get something, and it's just bland and it has no flavor. And so you add salt to give you flavor. Other times salt is mixed into cooking with other things, and so it enhances the flavor that is already there. And so they understood those two things. But they also understood that when salt is added to other ingredients, it begins to get watered down, you might say. Not necessarily with water, but other elements begin to affect it, and it loses its salt flavor. And that's what this passage is talking about when it says when salt loses its flavor. Salt can't actually lose its flavor, but it can be diluted down by adding other things to it. Cumin, however, cannot. Sorry. It just doesn't work. But they understood that Jesus was saying to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are that flavor. You are that good when there's no good around. You are that good that needs to bring out and enhance the other good that's out there. But when you get so diluted, you're not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And I looked that up, and what they're talking about is it's not just it's thrown out. It still has a use, but the use is not its purpose. They would take and they would throw it out, and it would... not necessarily like we do around here. We put salt out on the sidewalks or the roads whenever it gets icy. It's not that type of a deal. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the way we use small gravel and make a path. And you put enough gravel on there, and they would throw the salt out on a path, and it would actually keep the grass from growing up through the path. So it had a use, but not the purpose that it was created for. And so as He tells them this, He begins to tell them that you're the salt of the earth, but if you lose your flavor, your purpose is not going to be there. And it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I want today to take this, and I want us to understand where we're at, where I'm at. Maybe you are too. I love this passage in the fact that the salt has a purpose. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are that special thing that God has planted. God has put in the earth to make a difference. Your purpose is with the Christ in you, with the Spirit of God in you, to enhance the flavor of those around you. Maybe there are people out there and they're good people and they're Christian people, but life is just not what it's supposed to be right now, and so they're struggling. And so we are called to come alongside and enhance the flavor in them. We are called to be that flavor in the middle of a bland world. That's the first time our world's probably ever been called bland. It's been called a lot of other things, but bland is probably not one. But bland in the fact that there is very little Jesus in our world. And we are called to be that flavor when there is no flavor. Now for us, that seems really simple. That seems like that's a purpose that we could do. But what we have to also understand in that small phrase, that there is a priority for us. The priority for the salt is to stay pure, is to stay that salt that can't lose its flavor. Because like I said, when you add other ingredients to salt, it begins to lose its flavor for being salt. When we take in something that is not the true gospel, a part of someone else's faith that's out there, and it's not that bad, and we begin to allow that stuff to come in and become an ingredient with the salt that Christ has put in us, it waters down what's there. It gets ready to bleach out or to make bland that tangy, zesty salt that's supposed to be there. That's our priority, is to stay pure. If we look at this, they're supposed to have the purpose to be salt, to enhance and preserve. The preserving, man, that's... They used to take before refrigeration and they would rub salt all over meat, and some of you may still do that, and they rub the salt on there and it would prolong or slow down the decaying process. It would not quit. It would not halt the decaying process. But it would slow it down. That's what Jesus is saying to them. Your job, you being Christ in the world is not going to stop the decaying process of the world. Man, if it could, that would be great. But if we take a stand, if we're the salt we're supposed to be, it will slow it down in the contact that we have with those around us. So our purpose is to enhance and preserve and not lose our effectiveness being mixed in with those things of the world. I love also in this verse, this short verse, the privilege that is there. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say there's going to be other salt later. There is, us. But he's talking to his disciples and he says, you are the salt of the earth. You get the privilege of being the salt of the earth. Do we look at it that way? Do we look at it in a fact that in a way that we have a privilege of being the salt of the earth? We already know what the purpose is, but we never look at it as a privilege. We look at it as, well, it's a responsibility. It's something we should be doing. No, it's not something. He does not tell them, you should be the salt of the earth. He does not tell them, you could be the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. They did not have a choice. Because they were followers of Jesus Christ, because they were His true disciples, they did not have a choice but to be the salt of the earth. You have no choice but to be the salt of the earth. Well, you know, when we look at this, it's one of those things that we begin to say, well, you know, I don't think I have the reach to preserve to enhance, to help out the world, the earth. But that's what he says I am supposed to do. You are supposed to do. You are the salt of the earth. You have no choice. But in having no choice, we understand that it's a privilege. That's our problem sometimes. I think we just look at the responsibility and we don't look at it as a privilege. You know, we should be doing this and this and this as Christians. We should be reaching out to people and sharing Christ with them and doing this ministry, that whatever it is that God gave you. You should be doing that. That's our responsibility. But don't look at it as a responsibility. Look at it as a privilege. Because it is. Christ died so that you could have that privilege. Christ died so that you could be salt. The Bible tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved and you will be salt. I added that last part, just so you know. But we have to understand that when we are saved, we become salt. It's not you will be salt later on. You are salt. When He gives you the opportunity, the blessing of being a child of God, you became salt. When you confess your sins and He's faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you became salt. That's your privilege and your purpose. Then we look at our priority. Like I mentioned just a little bit ago, to stay pure. And the world wants to add so many things to the gospel. Churches want to add so many things to the true gospel. Our responsibility, our privilege, is to be salt. But so many times we get scared. We get the thought, the idea of, I don't know that I can do that. You know, when He told them, He said, you are salt. When I toss salt into French fries or whatever it is, I don't ask for that salt to mix in and do something special. Just be salt. You just be salt, and that's all I'm asking of you. When I put salt on my food, that's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for it to do anything super special. I'm just saying, you just go into the food and be salt. And by being salt, it will change my food the way I want it to. When God said, you go into the world and you just be salt, it will have the effect on the world that I want it to have. Our problem is, we think we have to do something special. And so too many people want to not just be salt, but add this to the salt. Because look at how much more reach we would have if we did this. He said, be salt. You are salt. And you know, I can pour out in a salt shaker, I can pour out all these little granules in my hand, and I can separate them out. And this one is as much salt as this one is. And that one is as much salt as that one is. And that one is as much salt as this one is. When you start thinking you're not enough salt, all you got to be is one grain of salt in the world. He's not asking you to fill up the shaker. He's asking you to be the salt that He wants to use to affect the earth. Our priority is to stay pure, because anything else dilutes what He calls us to be. And then this last one, He says, you are the salt of the earth. So many times when salt is on food, you dump it on your plate. And if you're like me, when your food is covered, there's probably way too much salt on the edge of the plate. You can still see it. So what I do is, when I'm taking a bite of my hamburger, I'll dip it in that extra salt. Don't shake your head at me. I'm not saying you have to do this. But I take that hamburger or that French fry or whatever it is, and and I will dip it over here in the salt. And if the salt doesn't stick to it, then I'll dip it in ketchup, and then the ketchup will dip in. And I want more salt. And so since I'm the one eating it, Debbie, since I'm the one eating it, I put the salt where I want. That's fair, right? Think about that. If you said that was fair just then, God's the one holding the salt shaker. He's going to put you where He wants you. He's going to put you where He needs you. It's up to Him. The salt in the salt shaker doesn't say, well, I want to go on the fries instead of the burger. Or I want to go on the mashed potatoes instead of the stuffing. The salt goes where the shaker sends it. And the shaker sends it where the hand wants it to go. Too many times, we don't want the purpose. We don't think we're built for that. We don't see the privilege. We don't make it a priority to stay pure. And we sure don't want to go wherever God sends us. But that's what He calls us to do. You don't have to do anything special. Just be salt. And He says, you're the salt of the earth. Well, Pastor, I've messed up way too much to be salt. You don't know my history. You don't know my past. Well, you don't know mine either. But I know my God and I know your God. And in this verse, it's not really talking about losing salvation or anything like that. That's not what this is saying. It's saying if a salt loses its flavor, it may lose for the opportunity to do what was originally the purpose. And it's thrown out to be trampled on. People, if I mess up, my testimony is thrown out by the world. Don't listen to that guy. I know what he's done. But you know, even in that, God can use me. When it was put on that path, it wasn't the original purpose, but God can still use it. We are different than salt in this way because God can cleanse us. The blood of Jesus can forgive any mistake that we've had. I don't care what mistake you've made or I made. The grace of God is sufficient to cover all of that. But it goes back to the point that He calls us to be salt. He wants you to be salt. You are salt. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you've made Him the Lord of your life, then you are salt. You will not become. You are. And so, my question is, are you salt? If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I can't take cumin and toss it on food and expect it to be salt. I can't toss pepper on food and expect it to be salt. It doesn't work that way. Salt is salt, and there's only one way to be salt, and that is to be created as salt. Years ago, my dad went to the salt flats out west, and he brought back this chunk of the racetrack. I don't know if he's supposed to do that or not, but he did. But it was about this big around. It was about this thick, and he brought it back in this plastic bag, and he gave it to me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, that's just a chunk of salt. And he showed a picture of the salt flats, if you've ever seen them. It just goes on for miles. That it's just salt. And I thought, you know, I was just a kid, and I thought, I wonder if that's really salt or if that's something else. It's salt. Just going to leave it at that, but it's really salt. I mean, it had a little dirt mixed in with it probably, but it was still salt. But it was created as salt. And so if you've accepted Christ, then you are salt. If you haven't accepted Christ, there is only one way to be salt, and that is for God to change you into salt. And God wants to do that. Why? Because of the last part of that sentence, the earth. He loves the earth too much. The earth needed salt. The earth needed the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of God. And so He created us to be salt for the earth. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that's what He's calling you to be, is salt. If you have accepted Christ, then you are salt, and you've got one priority, and that is to stay pure. You don't have to change the food, you just be salt. You don't have to change the world, just be who Christ made you to be. Remain pure in the love. Well, how can I do that, Pastor? Well, Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then verse 11 says, by hiding your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It goes back to His word. How can we stay pure? Take in His word. And take it in so that when it sends up a red flag for anything that's wrong. I used to hear years ago that if counterfeit money was going around, what they would do in the bank is they wouldn't have you study every piece of counterfeit money. They would have you study the real money. So that when something showed up that set up a red flag, something's not right. That's picture Steve on there instead of the president. Something's wrong. And you know, by studying what is right so well, that when something is wrong, something doesn't go along with this book, then we know it's wrong. And that's what makes us impure. By allowing something that is not right to come alongside what is right and begin to get mixed in, well, at least I know what's right. Yeah, but if you still have unconfessed sin in your life, even though you know what's right and you're doing what's wrong, still got a problem. Impurity still sets in. Changes how you do your job. We need to make sure that we're salt. And we need to do everything we can to stay pure. Because that's what He's called you to do. He's put you in the shaker. He's sending you where He wants you to go. This is the easiest passage, I think. Sometimes there's things in here that we have to study to, okay, I need to do this and I need to do that. This passage just says, be salt. Just be salt. Just be salt. That's what He calls us to be. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank You so much for loving us. Lord, You know where we're at. Lord, watch over us. Lord, if we need conviction, I pray You send it. Lord, if there's some that need encouragement here today, Lord, I pray that they find it in You. Lord, but draw us all to where You want us to be, that we would seek to honor You, that we would be what You want us to be, and allow You to live through us. Watch over us. May You be glorified and honored with our lives. In Your name we pray. Amen.